fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 6th day of March, year of our Lord, 2020, welcome to the John Moore Show. Last night, I was helping with a Republican fundraiser for Crawford County. Got to meet the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri. And we had a bigger attendance with our small county of maybe 25,000 people than St. Louis County, which has 2 million people, and we were quite proud of that. And we began our program last night with the Pledge of Allegiance. That's what we do here at my show. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The expanded prepper tip of the day includes the following. Make sure all your vehicle maintenance is taken care of. If you want your vehicle to be a bit more efficient and last longer, well, do what I do. Use AMSOIL lubricants. I've had great success with them, routinely driving my motor vehicles 250,000 miles or 250,000 miles, and they do quite well for me. The expanded prepper tip includes getting your OnGuard products from doTERRA to help you have a better immune system and be more resistant to all diseases, including the coronavirus. And, of course, Berkey water filters. Having clean, pure water is not optional. This is Friday morning, first hour, and we have patient waiting in the green room, our friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite proficient in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, electronics, radio frequency engineering. And we're going to be talking about emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, John. How's the weather in your part of the Ozarks? It's nice and sunny here.
It's a sunny day, right at about 50 degrees and getting warmer. How about yourself, sir?
About the same here, John. Really nice.
We had a family from Owensville at our event last night. They're farmers. They have horses and cattle, and they raise corn and soybeans also in their bottom land. So it was a good event last night, and everybody enjoyed themselves, had a great meal, raised some money for the Republican Party. Well, Tom, we're moving into only not quite 8 months away from the November election. With all the concerns going on with the economy, with this flu virus and everything, we need to be aware that if things go south, if the balloon goes up, whatever term you want to use, following the November election, you need to be prepared before the event. After the event, you're not going to be getting any ham radio equipment. If it gets bad, you won't be getting any ham radio license. What you've got when it begins is all you're going to have, right, Tom?
Well, it could be like that. We don't know. Of course, we'll know towards the end of the year exactly what happened. But it's wise to get set up now if you have any interest at all in radio or communications in general. Get that equipment now while things are relatively calm. Even with this virus situation, it's still possible. Huge issue in our parts yet.
That's right. Well, I didn't see anybody wearing a face mask last night or nitrile gloves, either one. Everything's normal in my part of the world. Other places I know, Metro Seattle is being dramatically affected. And it's a lot of it is fear-driven. Six or eight people getting getting the flu and dying in a nursing home, that's routine. It happens every day of the week someplace in the country. People get pneumonia, they get the flu, and they die when they're in nursing homes. So a lot of this is fear-driven. But what may or may not happen in after the first Tuesday in November is a matter of legitimate concern that is shared by very level-headed people and positions of trust and responsibility. And getting prepared in advance is a smart thing to do. We don't know what's going to happen after the first Tuesday in November, but we do know this. What will definitely happen is everywhere in this country, there'll be something going on at some point. It may be floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, maybe even a volcano, ice storms. There's no place in the United States that is immune to natural disasters, is there, Tom?
Yeah, that's right, John. And it's just so important to be able to access some of the communications in your local area, and that's where a gang with digital capabilities comes to mind. It'd be very wise to have something like that in hand. And also a shortwave radio. I like to have a shortwave radio nearby that has single sideband capabilities. And that allows you to listen to any of the ham radio operators on all of the ham radio bands in the shortwave spectrum, as well as any government and military stations that may be on the air. They have regular Absolutely. Frequencies that they operate on, and you can intercept those transmissions as well.
People tend to be motivated by necessity. What's the old phrase? Necessity is the mother of invention. And I think that applies in this case, Tom. We can see the possibility, the possible necessity of having this equipment following the first Tuesday in November as a possibility. We also see 100% chance that something somewhere will always be an issue in this country, as I mentioned before, fires, forest fires, grass fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, flooding, ice storms. That's inevitable. What may or may not happen following the first Tuesday of November is a possibility, but it's inevitable that these other things will happen. Now, if you look at the first Tuesday in November as being a place to focus your energy on, a date, a drop-dead date to get ready by, and that's a good thing, because getting ready by the first Tuesday in November means you're also ready for all these other possible, inevitable natural disasters, aren't you, Tom?
Yes, that's right. And again, who knows what's going to happen, but I suspect there's going to be some turmoil getting in close to that election date.
At least
wait and see, but Absolutely, John. I wouldn't want to be near any big city at that time. No, not at all.
No, not at all. The outlying areas, like where I live, we're not anticipating any issues at all. If it gets bad enough, there may be some disruptions in transportation in terms of goods being delivered. But other than that, we're not anticipating anything. But the place to get started, the portal, the entree to get started is ARRL.org. That's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org. That's the Amateur Radio Relay League website, isn't it, Tom?
That's it. And they have all the publications you would need from elementary introduction to electronics communication all the way up to some very advanced technical journals at the university level.
There's one of the ham operators in my area. His wake-up call was 9/11/01, and it had not occurred to him to even think about emergency communications until the 11th day of September 2001. And that was his wake-up call. At the time, he had not been married very long, had a couple of small children. Life was grand, and that was his wake-up call after the fact. Luckily, unfortunately for all of us, that crisis didn't affect the whole country for more than about 2 weeks or so in terms of things being shut down and not working normally, especially commercial airliners. But that was his wake-up call. Now, what we're doing today, you and I, Tom, is a wake-up call for everybody before the fact, not after the fact. It is not 8 a.m. on the 11th day of September 2001. No, this is 8 a.m. on the 6th day of March 2020. And you're getting an advance warning here instead of an after-the-fact warning, aren't they, Tom?
Yes, that's right. And I'm willing to help anybody. The best part is, since it's calm at this time in our society, it's the time to, we're getting down to the wire, your equipment set up, and we can walk anybody through it the best we can over the air. And it's some of the other local ham radio operators that have been on air for a few years or longer, and they have quite a bit of experience and are usually more than willing to help you get your station set up. And the best part is they'll help you avoid the mistakes that are commonly made because they've already...
Tom, we're losing about one-fourth of everything you're saying, sir. It's just gone. About one-fourth of everything you say is just not there. If you can get a landline, that'd be great. Whatever it takes. But I agree, absolutely.
If this is any better, for a few minutes, we go to the first break. I'll try it.
Yeah, it's not any better. It's pretty wretched, actually. And I'm on landline myself this morning. My internet connection is down at least until the second hour, and it may not come back until later in the day. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your heads up. We're giving you advance notice of the possibility. Nothing definite here. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I know what can happen, and Tom knows what can happen. So advance notice right here on the Friday, the 6th day of March, 2020, that following the first Tuesday of November this year, which is only 8 months away, there could be civil disorder in the major cities and maybe even more widespread. The people, the communists who support Bernie Sanders, they've already made statements, what they thought were private. Tom, I don't know if you've heard this. This group called Veritas did secret video recordings of Bernie Sanders' campaign people who just blatantly said that if President Trump is reelected, quote-unquote, the cities will burn. That's a direct quote. Did you happen to see that, Tom?
I've heard of that group, John, but I didn't know exactly what they were up to. But I have also heard people talking about that very scenario, the cities will burn.
Right. Right. Well, Veritas is also the people who recorded the abortionists talking about how they need to earn more money to buy their Lamborghini because of selling baby parts. I don't know if the people making these statements have the ability to carry out their threats, their desires, but they're certainly stating their threats that they will be part of the city's burning if President Trump is reelected. And of course he'll be reelected if we have a free and fair election. There's no doubt whatsoever that the good people of this country will reelect Donald Trump. So as we keep saying, Tom, these 8 months will pass very quickly. It will be here before we know it. We're already into spring. The tree frogs are peeping in the evening. The geese are going north. We're past the hard freezes, and it'll be summertime. It'll be fall, and it'll be November before we know it. So pay heed, ladies and gentlemen. Pay heed. That's as much as I can say. You're getting a fair warning to go to the ARRL.org website. Begin your quest to learn about ham radio, to get your ham radio license, to get the compatible equipment for yourself and the people that you love the most that you need to talk to. They may be 20 miles away or 1,000 miles away or even on the other side of the planet. And you could talk to people on the other side of the planet with ham radio equipment, can't you, Tom?
Oh, it's easily done, yes. And you need to get that equipment set up, even with as little as a 100-watt HF transceiver. And I've very rarely run more than 100 watts on the HF bands, John, but I've talked all over the world on that. I don't have a huge interest in international communications anymore. If the station's there and I hear them and call them and they respond, that's great, but I don't go looking for it. There's a lot of ham operators that's their main thing is to work what they call DX, and that are very long distance communications. Usually that means international.
Right.
There's a lot of that going on, but I like to focus on the emergency aspects of communications and building things and making equipment, setting up stations and things like that. So that's where my interests are in these days.
Well, I've seen some of the prototypes you've been building for backpack radios that are very sophisticated, very compact, very lightweight. And I would say if they're not mil-spec, they're close to being mil-spec in terms of the packaging and everything. And it's a very serious part of everything ham radio gets involved in is to have portable, lightweight, mil-spec transceivers that people can carry about with them and talk to the people they need to talk to. If some of the things that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, sound like Greek or to you and you don't understand what we're talking about, that's okay. You're not expected to. We have callers that call in that have questions about ham radio, and I should mention the call number is 800-313-9443. And we talk about technical things, and you're sitting there scratching your head wondering, what in the world is Tom Berryhill talking about? That's okay. You're not expected to. Being exposed to this kind of language and technical jargon can be quite confusing initially. And I say initially because it doesn't take a whole lot of time to be around ham radio people to do just a little bit of studying. It's not like you're studying for a master's thesis. A little bit of studying to become aware and cognizant of the language, of the technical details, and get up and running and be very proficient. And as I frequently mention, Tom, we routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls passing their ham radio license test, don't we, sir?
Well, yeah, that happens all the time nowadays, John. You see, in the old times, it was much more difficult, and the things are relaxed, the equipment's easier to use, and they've made it so much easier to get started.
They have. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Friday, the 6th day of March here at Republic Broadcasting. I will be speaking in Indianapolis, Indiana, May 1st and May 2nd with Pastor Paul Begley. Details and tickets at my website at thelibertyman.com. This is the hour we spend every week talking about emergency survival communications with my friend Tom Berryhill. You got a question or comment regarding emergency survival communications? Just give us a call at 800-313-9443. Well, Tom, we get emails from listeners who have paid heed. They've moved forward to study and get their ham radio license, get the equipment that they need to work this hobby, which in normal times is just a hobby. But during a crisis, the police may come knocking on your door saying, "We need help." And this happens all the time. The police come to your door. The sheriff comes to your door. "We need your help. We can't get any communications." And that's when the ham radio people can step up to the plate and help the sheriff's department, help the police department, help the fire department, help the paramedics to communicate so that lives can be saved and property can be saved. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that can happen. It has happened. Their systems are much more... have greatly improved over the years, John, so I don't know if they need help as much as before, but There have been instances, even in recent times, because of hurricanes. I'm thinking of Houston as one of them just a few years ago,
right,
where many of the police departments, they couldn't talk across the street on their radios. The systems were rendered total junk, and they couldn't do anything. So they needed a lot of help, and the ham operators did help them to some extent.
That's right. And Hurricane Katrina the same way. Most of the focus of Hurricane Katrina that people are aware of has been on New Orleans, but I was on that Gulf Coast 100 miles from New Orleans or more, and I saw these beautiful grassy areas and with signs up for sale, lots for sale, and I talked to some of the local people. Oh, that's where the million-dollar homes were, where there's nice grassy lots now for sale. These storms, the power of these storms is just a sight to behold. Until you've seen it firsthand, it's amazing. And the best equipment that the police have, the fire departments, the paramedics, like you said, Tom, was rendered useless. And the ham radio people, Hurricane Katrina stepped up to the plate. Houston, they stepped up to the plate. And there's been dozens and dozens of natural disasters over the decades where the ham radio people stepped up to the plate and lives were saved and property was saved as a direct consequence of the ham radio people having equipment that worked when everything else was broken. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And that's the beauty of ham radio. You're allowed to work on the equipment. You have the skills. You need some of those skills to get started, and you'll gain additional skills as you use the equipment and experiment with it, trying different antennas and so on. And you build your skill set this way, and that's how you're able to help when there's the need, such as the police department, the sheriff's department, fire departments. When their towers are knocked down in a tornado or a hurricane, they can't do anything. Their portable HTs only go so far, and they're usually on repeater systems, and those things stop working. They're in trouble. So I just remember, though, one of the reports coming out of Houston with that storm hurricane they had there, that one of the police departments, I remember hearing the chief of police say, we couldn't talk across the street. And that's what happens. And it fixes it. They have to wait till somebody prepared. No telling how long it took.
Right. We're still getting your audio is still breaking up a bit, not like it did previously. But this is very true. And it's the nature of our modern society that families are split up around the country, where siblings and parents and children will be split up 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 miles apart. And they depend, of course, people have the internet and cell phones. People become completely dependent on those things. And when they're gone, they're gone. It may be gone for a few hours, or maybe even a few days, maybe even a week or two in the event of a major disaster. And it would really be peace of mind to be able to talk to somebody that you love and care for and know that they're okay. And there's a lot of value there. I would think for many families, enough value to justify the small investment necessary in time and money to be able to talk to the people you care about the most if everything else is broken. Right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. And it doesn't take that much money if you purchase used equipment. There's a lot of used equipment available, and it doesn't take much, maybe a few hundred dollars, to get your first radio set up, your first station on the air. Buy some older equipment, it works fine, and you're off and running.
That's right. We got a 5-hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Friday, the 6th day of March. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. There's lots there. There's a whole lot there. Things that will inform you, educate you, entertain you, possibly even make you angry. To find out that most of our population, we'll say most, over half the population, has been poisoned with something put in our water since the late 1950s, something called sodium fluoride. It can be a real shocker, and the details are there. The letter written by Dr. Hardy Limebeck, and many scientific papers backing up what he says, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that sodium fluoride is poison. Does not belong inside human beings in any amount, even the tiniest amounts. One part per million in drinking water is poison. So you can educate yourself on that right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with sleep, if you have issues with arthritis pain, I'm talking about half the people in this country, half the adults in this country have issues with either one or both, then you need an energy cleaner. I use mine every night. I sleep like a small child every night, wake up refreshed, pain-free, and you can also. Only $285, shipping included, American zip codes. And sleep is not just a matter of comfort. It's a matter of being healthy and having a stronger immune system, something that a lot of people are paying more attention to these days. details at my website. You can read up on the patent application information. You can see the wonderful testimonials from people like Steve Whitman. We'll have Steve Whitman on soon. He's about to finish his next book. Then go and make your decision. Don't procrastinate. Make your decision to get an energy cleaner, get a mattress pad to go with it, and you're good to go. You can place your order right there at my website using your PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check. My address is there. And please keep the following in mind. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's from me to you personally. That's what I do. Toll-free order line for an energy cleaner, 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. If you have a question or comment about that topic, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Tom, you touched on something a moment ago, and I want to expand that a little bit, and that's the fact, and it is a fact, that within these ham radio clubs, high-quality, used radio equipment, which would be radios, chargers, antennas, all the things that go with them, are bought and sold back and forth between the members of these clubs routinely, and these things are not listed on the Internet for sale. You have to be at the club meeting to know what's going on and know that this equipment is for sale to be able to get access to it, don't you?
Yes, that's true. John, I switched to a landline. I hope it's a little better.
It's much better. Thank you, sir.
Okay, good. Well, as far as used equipment goes and ham clubs, if you do go to a ham radio club and just put the word out that you're looking to do specific type of operations on the air, these men and women may have something sitting around that they haven't even thought about offering for sale on one of the online forums. But they might right then say, hey, I've got this thing sitting here and I haven't used it for a few years. I'll take $300 for it or something like that. And you can get some pretty nice HF equipment around $300 to $400, and then you have just a little bit more of an investment for some of the antenna pieces. But I'd say you could easily get on the air for well under $500 for your first station, and it'll be a
Absolutely.
Very, very efficient and a high quality station. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you know, and that's the important point: high quality in terms of what you'll be able to do with it. And it may, you know, obviously used equipment is not going to be as perfect as something fresh from the factory, but a lot of times you can't tell the difference between a good piece of used equipment and something fresh from the factory because it's been so well cared for, right, Tom?
That's very true, and of course the on-the-air signal is what's important too. It's very important to have a proper antenna set up. And then if you're going to operate on single sideband or any of the voice modes, it's very important to know what your signal sounds like. And one of the biggest mistakes made is turning up the microphone gain too high. So many of these new operators I remember one guy saying the standard operating procedure is all knobs to the right. They just turn everything up to max, and that doesn't always make it work any better. There's some settings you have to learn about, and you don't turn up the levels, the audio levels to maximum, that'll just get you a lot of distortion and just cause interference to other stations. It's best to learn how that works and work with maybe another local ham on the air and get your adjustments just right. There's also equipment available. You might want to get some sort of monitoring equipment to monitor your actual transmission so you can hear it yourself. Some of the radios allow you to listen to your transmit audio through the headset while you're transmitting. Some stations will do that, but it's the actual signal that goes out over the air that's important. And if you properly adjust any of this equipment from something 50 years old or something that's brand new, if you get it properly adjusted, as far as I'm concerned, they all sound about the same.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. That's good news to know that you don't have to spend an arm and a leg to get high quality equipment that will put out a signal that sounds just as good as the more expensive equipment. And that's very good news. It should give people some peace of mind knowing that they can do that and be very effective in their communications. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And another mistake made by, I see so many of the new hams, the first thing they want to do is get a big, huge power amplifier. You don't need that. You can talk worldwide with just 100 watts. The antenna is very important. I would put some effort into the antenna and get that up as high as possible. I use simple dipoles. That's all I've ever used. I am going to put up a large vertical antenna here in the summer. But aside from that, I've just used wire dipoles strung up in trees and haven't used any type of beam or Yagi-type antennas in many, many, many decades. But I've talked all over the world. It depends on the, what part of the sunspot cycle you're in, and that's important too. But as far as emergency communications, you can do that almost any time throughout the year and throughout the sunspot cycle, which occurs every, you know, it changes every 11 years. We have a new sunspot cycle, and
right.
It affects communication ranges. But for emergency communications, just a dipole antenna, even a vertical antenna, but a dipole is the simplest. And you stretch that up between two trees. It can just be 20 feet off the ground, 10 feet. It's really not that critical if you just want some regional coverage. Say, for instance, at maybe 150, 200-mile, even 300-mile radius, you would have pretty good communications all through that range at just 100-watt power level.
Well, that's good news also. People don't need to get carried away with needless expense. They may think they have bragging rights if they have a more powerful amplifier, but the more experienced hams will just look at them and shake their heads, won't they?
Yes, that's true. And you have to really learn, and you will from experience, that I've seen it on the air many times. A operator, a relatively new operator, will fire up his amplifier and then they'll do some testing. They'll turn the amplifier off, and there's very little difference. I mean, you do hear a difference, but not enough to really pay attention to. And you're just using up a lot of power. And also, in the ham radio license, you agree to use the minimum power required to maintain communications. And that doesn't
right.
mean 1.5 kilowatts all the time. But so many of the operators, they want that high power amplifier. It might be bragging rights. I don't know.
Well, back in the 70s, when CB radio was so popular, there was thousands of stories around the country where somebody would set up a CB radio with a very powerful amplifier in an urban suburban area and cause all kinds of interference with people's TVs and other equipment. Those stories ran rampant around the country back in the 70s, didn't they, Tom?
Oh, they did. And, you know, from way back in the old days, anytime there was television interference from two-way radio systems, they always blamed the ham radio operators. And many times it was a CB guy operating illegally with high power like that, causing all this trouble. And the ham radio operators were blamed for it, and it wasn't even their fault. It's a shame it's like that. But so many of the CB guys, they just thought that the 5 watts wasn't enough and they wanted more power. And so many of them now have come over to ham radio and dragged those poor practices with them. And it's they should do some studying and learn. If anything, they should study, learn about decibels and what it really takes to effectively communicate and how the signals are propagated and the attenuation through feed lines and things like that. If you set up your antennas properly and pay attention to all those technical details, you can have a very efficient system with relatively low power. Much of the work I've done over the years, John, has been with what they call QRP, which is very low-power radios, 5 watts or less. And some of the transmitters I've constructed myself, my own designs, were very simple. But they were only maybe 1 to 3 or 4 watts of power at the most, and talked all over the world with those.
Well, it's good to know that can be done, and we're once again not talking about outrageously expensive equipment, are we, sir?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, if anybody wanted to build a very low-cost transceiver. Now, most of the work I do is Morse code, so there, you know, it's very simple. It's not sophisticated. And I'll use a regular receiver. I use a Drake R4B receiver. That's a 50-year-old radio right there. And I'll use that receiver along with a homebrew transmitter, one that I've designed and made myself, two or three transistors typically, and runs on 12 volts, sometimes a little higher voltage. But with that simple transmitter, I've talked all over the world. But all over the Midwest, no problem at all, day and night. And to build that, I think there's maybe $20 worth of parts, if that.
Well, there's, for beginners that want to get involved with this, there's kits sold that people can get, entry-level kits. Entry-level, we're talking about junior high school level children can get started learning how to solder circuits together, can't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. And as far as these little transmitters, you can buy a single circuit board about 2 inches square that is a complete transceiver on the 7 megahertz, 40-meter band. It's CW, Morse code. But I've seen those things from China. It's a receiver and transmitter. And the whole kit, you put it together yourself. But the whole thing is like $5, and that includes the shipping from China. That does not include the John. That does not include the Lysol you need to spray it down before you touch it nowadays. But it comes from China. I don't know how they do it. They must have the government must subsidize their shipping. I don't know how that works. But try shipping something to them. It's quite a bit more. But
right,
they get it here, and the whole thing's about $5, maybe $6 at the most, and it works. They work. They're not the best, but they do work. And under emergency situations, that little $5 transceiver would give you effective communications over an entire regional area, and I mean hundreds of miles out in every direction with a simple wire antenna. It's been done. It's done all the time. It's done on a daily basis.
Well, that's incredible, to say the least. that's incredible. Well, a lot of things coming from China have been curtailed for the time being. I understand that they're already ramping back up to get back into production, and the disease rates are going down there. So there's going to be some delays for a few weeks, maybe a month or two, before things get back to normal in terms of deliveries of the things we need from China. In the meantime, there's plenty of opportunities for people to learn what they need to learn. Getting started at the ARRL.org website, ARRL.org website, and begin this process. Begin the process now of learning what you need to learn, studying what you need to study, get your ham radio license. And we're looking at a few weeks, maybe a month or two, depending on how much time you devote to it. Plenty of time between now and the first Tuesday in November to both get your ham radio license as well as get good quality equipment and learn how to use it. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true, John. I like to I talk a lot about the building things and testing equipment, things like that. That's what I'm interested in these days. You know, I went to the Hamfest in Orlando, Florida, the first part of February, and I went to one of the forums there, and there was a fellow there that gave a talk for about an hour, a little bit over an hour, on building your own equipment. And this gentleman has never ever bought a commercial ham radio. All of his equipment from day one was built from scratch by him, and he had some of his equipment there that he built. And anybody looking at it and then compare it to a radio off the shelf, they would say, well, it looks like a scrap pile. But the equipment worked, and he even built a HF single sideband transceiver that he uses in his car. And some of the other people that attended that forum that have talked to him were shaking his hand and complimenting him on how good that mobile unit sounds. I think he said it was about 50 watts. And we went out after he got through talking. He showed it to me. And it was incredible. that this guy puts all this together from just little cheap parts that he buys online and builds, designs the equipment, builds it himself. This is still happening, even in these days of digital.
That reminds me of a teenager who found out where the local TV repair shop threw out the broken TVs out behind the shop in the swamp, who would go out there and recover parts and build radios. Do you know that story, don't you, Tom?
Oh, John, that was me, and I got in a lot of trouble for messing around by that. That was a dangerous place. I mean, there was quicksand back there and everything. It was a dangerous
place. No alligators.
You got to do what you got to do to get the job done.
No alligators.
No.
We got a break. No. We'll be right back. Hold on, everybody.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 6th day of March. Well, little Tom Berryhill, what, 13, 14 years old? Did you wait until 13. Did you wait until the TV repair guy had gone home for the evening before you snuck out there to in the swamp to retrieve these discarded TV parts?
I'll tell you exactly where they were. Lindbergh Middle School, well, they call it something else now, that building that's kind of a curved shape on Eddy and Park Road near Lindbergh Boulevard. And behind that school was a swamp area. And we'd take a small red wagon up there. I'd take my younger brother and enslave him to drag that thing back, and I'd pile those television chassis in there. Yeah, I made a deal with him. He had to help, you know, we kept the rope and everything tied around a tree. We'd be in the mud sometimes up to our knees to get those. And that guy would throw those old television chassis out, but I'd harvest the most valuable thing in there. Not only was some of the tubes, but usually he took all the tubes out, but the power transformers were very important. And most of the equipment I was working with in those days was tube-based and not too much solid state. It was just starting to come onto the scene. But power transformers were expensive and hard to find. So I would harvest the power transformers and the filter capacitors for the power supplies. And I'd find, once in a while, I'd find tubes. Sometimes they weren't in the best of shape. You know, they were kind of used up. But you just do what you have to do with what you have to work with.
That reminds me, I built some nice equipment. I was in the fourth or fifth grade. I somehow got plans to build an electric motor using 16-penny nails and copper wrapping wire. And it was ran on 110 volts AC. And I wired this thing up, and I plugged it in. Man, there were sparks flying. That thing was spinning around. It was amazing. And dangerous as could be. There's no way parents would let their kids do something like that. Of course, my parents didn't know what I was doing, but that would be considered too dangerous for a grade school child to fool around with these days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, John, in high school, I took an electrical class, and one of the projects was to build this electric motor that ran on batteries. And these clowns in that class, they were too busy drinking beer and goofing off, and they wanted a good grade because the teacher said your grade depended on finishing this project. And so I was building all these motors for these guys because they didn't know how to do any. They just couldn't do it. And I built some really nice motors, and these guys are all getting B pluses and A's. And I never had enough time to do mine. Remember that teacher, he called me up in front of the class, says, Barry Hill, you're a disgrace. You're a ham radio operator, and you should know how to do this. You didn't even finish your motor. And look at these other guys. So-and-so here got an A. This one got a B+. Look at that beautiful motor. I charged those guys. I needed money for my ham radio parts, so I made money off of these guys. And they all started laughing at the teacher, and he got so pissed that he just left the room. He did, John.
He didn't know.
He blew a stack. He didn't know, I'll show you the report card. It says I got an F and an incomplete in that class.
Right.
Because I never even built my own motor, but the rest of them look pretty good.
Well, what a story. Tom, thank you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Okay, John.
Okay. We had a top of the hour break. Be back with Dr. Lynn Wilbert. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.